Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here. This is just one of my favorite times of day to be able to chat with you and to talk about things that are inspiring, things that give us hope for healthy families. Listen, I am watching the headlines along with all of you, and it can be really discouraging. So here's my word of advice, what I have learned as I'm sitting here scrolling through my phone, watching all of the terrible things that are going on in the world. Listen, just put your phone down. Just do it. Take a phone-free day. Give yourself an hour, an afternoon, an evening, a whole day, or if you're really, really wanting to try something wild, go a week without your phone. That is something that I'm really going to be working on this summer with all of my kiddos home. I've got kiddos home from college. I've got teenagers. Last summer, we had a box where we would put our phones in the box and keep track of how many minutes we got back together as a family that were tech-free. And I think that's just so important for us to disconnect from technology from time to time and to reconnect with family, with our relationships, because we're living in a world where we're just trying all the time. Now, I know from talking to so many of you out there that as parents listening in, as grandparents, as people who are invested in raising kids and grandkids, you are trying so hard. You're just trying so hard. And there is nothing more frustrating than feeling like you're trying and you're trying and you're trying and you're just getting nowhere and nothing seems to be happening and you just feel stuck. I hear that. I know that. And we just think, why aren't we enough? Why can't we be good enough? Well, we have a guest today that is going to speak right to the heart of that. And I think that you are really going to be encouraged by this message. We've got Erica Wiggenhorn, and I'm so excited to have her on here. I followed her for a long time on social media, just watching the inspiring encouragement that she gives. She is a national speaker with Aspire Women's Events, and she speaks at women's retreats and large conferences, or just from her own kitchen table. She brings scriptural truth and sees lives transformed. She has served on the Proverbs 31 ministry writing team. She's an award-winning author with Moody Publishers, and she wants people just like you and me to discover delight in God's word as we become equipped with tools to read it with confidence. And you can find her at ericawiggenhorn.com. She lives in Phoenix with her best friend, her husband, and their four children. She says two of them are human and two are fur babies. So Erica, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you here today.
Hi, Dr. Jessica. It's so great to be here.
It is so good to be here. And we are talking today about your book, Letting God Be Enough, Why Striving Keeps You Stuck and How Surrender Sets You Free. And if this is not a message that every parent doesn't need today, I mean, this is a message we need to hear. So before we dive into all of those things, can you just tell our listeners a little of your story, just how you came to where you are and have a heart for ministry like you do?
Yes. So growing up in my family, we used to have this saying that we would pass around, and it was kind of like a joke. And my family would say, it's so good that Erica is little and cute because, bless her heart, she is just not very bright. And everyone would laugh, right? Because it's supposed to be funny,
terrible.
Right? It's a joke. And as a kid, I would laugh because I thought I was supposed to laugh because everybody else laughed, right? But inside, what I heard was, you're not good enough. Mm. You're not good enough. And I allowed that label of just not being enough to really become fixed on my heart and mind. And I lived from that perspective of always feeling like I had to prove myself or worried that other people outside of my family would come to that same conclusion as well. And I think a lot of women battle with that, whether it's I'm not skinny enough, I'm not pretty enough, my kids don't love Jesus enough, my house isn't you know, magazine worthy enough. My hair is not enough. My career is not enough. I mean, all different areas of our lives, we are constantly looking around at this elusive bar of perfection out there. And everywhere we look, we see somebody maybe a little bit higher on the bar than we are. And we begin to tell ourselves that that must mean we're not enough.
Oh my goodness, Erica, I think you're right. This resonates with so many people, me included. I was just actually speaking at a parenting group this morning in my community and telling them, I mean, if I had a high school superlative, it would have been least likely to be a speaker because I was studying to be a professional grandmother, as one of my classmates put it. I was very quiet and just always felt like, you know, I was cross-stitching in the corner, learning how to bake bread, you know, but I didn't want anybody to see me. I know it's true. But I didn't want anybody to see me because I thought, oh, you would recognize what I feel inside, that I am not enough, mm-hmm. that I do not belong here, that I don't have anything of value to contribute. I resonate with that so deeply. And I was laughing at you saying, bless your heart, because if you're not from the South, like, that's an insult, actually. That's not a nice
right,
thing to
yeah.
say. It's what we say when we're trying to be polite about insulting people. But when I was reading in your book, some of the lines that came out is those doubts that people have. If people really knew me, would they still accept me? Will I be rejected when I can't perform? Can I pull this off? What if I end up alone? And am I missing out on what life should be because I can't shake this fear? And I think you're right. As women, we definitely feel that way, but I think parents feel that way. I think men feel that way. I think dads feel that way. And especially in this day and age, Erica, where we are really living in the prison of perfection that is projected by social media. You know, we're looking at other people's social media feed thinking, oh, it looks like their teenager likes them. Oh, her husband dressed up in the matching Christmas pajamas. And my husband said, no way,
yes,
you know, I won't
yes.
do that. Like all of these things. And we forget that when we're posting our own on social media, we're saying things to our kids like, stop hitting your sister. Stop moving around. Why can't you just take a picture? And then we post it and we're like, oh,
yes.
Hashtag family memories. This is so great. It's fake. But why, Erica? Why do you think so many Christians and especially women struggle with this just crippling self-doubt?
Yeah, that is such a great question, Dr. Jessica. And really the title of the book is the crux of it, right? Letting God be enough. We feel like we have to be enough instead of saying, you know what, God is enough. And because I am his child, I am his daughter, he has redeemed me and he will give me everything I need for the call on my life and the assignments that he has given me. And I need to trust that God will be enough. You know, I love it when Paul says, you know, he makes all grace abound to you, right? It's not like our God is like just enough, right? Like when you go to the, you know, Thanksgiving dinner mm-hmm. and they put, you know, some potatoes on your plate and you're like, oh, that's enough. And really in your heart, you want to eat like five times that amount, right?
that's true.
Not the enough I'm talking about. It's like God is boundless, right? He is bountiful. And I love it when Paul also says, he says, look, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses because where I'm weak, that's where the power of Christ comes in and does abundantly more. So I'm going to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so letting God be enough is really this journey with God. A lot of it, my own personal journey that I really just invite the whole reader to come along with me in all of these areas of life that you so beautifully mentioned already, whether it's marriage or motherhood or your career or your physical health or whatever. How do we learn to truly let God be enough? And when we know in our heart that God is at work in our lives and his power is at work in and through us to make us enough by his power, not on our own, things begin to change. There's an ordering that happens to our life and we can begin to experience some peace because we can learn to trust God and let him be enough when we feel like we're falling behind or falling short.
You know, it's so simple, but it's somehow not easy. And it's like, we just want some more magical answer than that, you know, than to say that, hey, guess what?
Right?
You don't have to be enough anymore. God is enough. That's it. But it is a surrender. And I think that's where the struggle is, and laying our will down. And especially in the world that it's like today, we just feel this pressure to perform and pressure to be perfect. And it's really hard for us to say, I mean, not only publicly, hey, I don't have it all together, I was wrong, which, Erica, is exactly what you're doing in your book. I feel like I have to point that out, because I sit across from so many authors and speakers, and people might think, oh, they're so wise, they're so accomplished, they have so many people who listen to them, they have it all together. And I think, no, it's just, you have the courage to say, I don't. But here's what I've learned along the way. So, Erica, what is imposter syndrome? Because I feel this as a mom. Like, if I go in to the school party and I'm the working mom who's coming into my work clothes, I immediately feel like intimidated by all those moms who have made the monogrammed cookies. And I'm sure, like, that shoe is on the other foot, you know, the other people are thinking, oh, she works, you know, I mean, it's just, we are, the grass is greener on the other side. And we feel like we're constantly trying to be each other than ourselves. So what does that look like and feel like in our lives? How do you see that with all of the women you talk to and minister to across the country?
Yeah, imposter syndrome really is this, almost think of it like a costume that you put on, right? And like, for instance, when you, the scenario that you just described, right? Like, you want to go into that scenario and you want to put on a costume like, I'm the Pinterest mom too, right?
Yes.
But yet when these women maybe come into your, you know, go into a medical office, right? They want to put on the costume of, I'm an educated person. I know how to take care of my children in a healthy way. So it's this idea of kind of putting on a costume to convince whatever crowd we're in, that we know what we're doing. We have it together. We have it figured out. We're not, you know, less than or inept, but inside, we're terrified that somebody's going to, you know, untie the cape around our shoulders and our superwoman status is suddenly going to vanish. And so it's very imprisoning, because it cripples our friendships, because we have a difficult time being real with the people around us. We feel like, oh gosh, if I'm too needy, then people aren't going to want to be my friend. If I'm honest about where I'm really struggling, if I'm honest about how I feel about motherhood right now and how draining and depleting it feels and unsatisfying, I'm afraid I'll be judged by other moms who seem like, you know, Julie Andrews singing on the Sound of Music on the mountain and just utter bliss at being a mom and baking cookies, right? And so it's just this, it's like a costume where we feel like we have to keep changing what we're wearing to fit in with the people that are around us. But inwardly, we know we're not really that person. There's more to us than that, but we don't feel safe to say so.
Ooh, that is some hard truth right there, Erica. It really is. And like I said, you know, it just goes back to this concept of surrender and just saying, I am not enough and I will never be enough. But God, which, by the way, Erica, are my two favorite words together in the history of ever.
Yes.
But God is enough. And we have to, as you say, step out in his power instead of our own, and watch your confidence blossom, because you're in the hands of I am. Well, we are going into a break here, Erica, but when we come back, I want to talk about some biblical examples of this and talk about all of the self-help that's out there. Listen, I don't need to help myself. I have helped myself into a bunch of trouble. I need God to help me out of that. And that is what we will talk about. We will be right back with Erica Wiggenhorn, and you can find her at ericawiggenhorn.com. We're talking about her book, Letting God Be Enough, and we'll be right back. Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Daisy and her husband had decided they never wanted kids. And when she found out she was pregnant, she immediately thought abortion. But after she and her husband met her baby on ultrasound and heard the heartbeat, their hearts melted and they chose life. Her baby Jeffrey is healthy and beautiful, and Daisy and her husband can't even imagine life without him. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a heart. Welcome back, friends. That is the perfect message for today. Have you ever felt like you have just thrown up your hands and said, I have got nothing left, God? But God is there in the moment, and he gives you the grace that you need to go on. And all we have sometimes is a hallelujah, but that is enough, because our God is enough. And that is what we're talking about today with Erica Wiggenhorn. She is the author of Letting God Be Enough, Why Striving Keeps You Stuck, and How Surrender Sets You Free. And parents, this is a message for you. It is a message for all of us. We all struggle with this from time to time, some of us more than others. I was just telling Erica during the break, this is so resonates with me, because this is exactly how I felt starting off as a mom. I was striving and failing and just struggling with the broken relationships I had with my own mother and thinking, how can I do this? And it was that moment of surrender where I finally recognized I can't, but God can. And I had to trust him that he would, that he was able, that he was faithful to complete the good work that he started in me. And here I am talking to you about that journey, and that can only be God. So Erica, before the break, we were talking about just this concept of self-help, and self-help books tend to be really hot sellers. I mean, everybody is clamoring for self-help.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I personally don't want any help from myself. I have been there, but what do you think about that, and contrasting that with what the Bible says about these issues of feeling like we're not enough?
Yeah, I love this question so much, Dr. Jessica, because it's true. And we, there's something about us as human beings that it's like, well, gosh, if I just had the right information, then I could bring about this transformation in my life. And while there is an element of information can be very empowering, Jesus is the only one who can truly change us from the inside out, right? That's why mm-hmm. he gave us the Holy Spirit, the helper, the counselor. And so that's why letting God be enough is such a different kind of quote unquote self-help book, because the reality of what letting God be enough is that you and I on our own will never be enough, but God will be more than enough. And so it's a process of diving into scriptural examples. And we really spend a lot of time looking at Moses, whom I affectionately refer to as the greatest self-doubter in the Bible. We look at Moses, but we don't look at Moses as much as we look at God and how God responds to Moses' self-doubt and how he rips off that label of fear and insecurity and anxiety and worry and all these labels that Moses wears, and how God comes and rips those off and replaces those labels with the truth of who God is, and that God is trustworthy, and that Moses can indeed let God be enough to accomplish the things that God has given him to do. And for me, that is such a message of freedom, because mm-hmm. it's exactly what you said. I mean, there's so many times I have an adult daughter, I have a teenage son now, and so many times as a mom, and even now as a mom, mm-hmm. Feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm just not enough. Why can't I get my child to do XYZ or understand XYZ or do XYZ? And God says, because you're not letting me be enough. I am the one who's going to do that. You have to trust me, and you have to show your child that you do trust me, which means not freaking out when they're not doing X, Y, and Z, because that is basically saying you're relying on yourself to bring about these changes in your child's life. And when you can't, then you feel a loss of control and you freak out. But if we're really letting God be enough, we might have a short freak out moment still, full disclosure.
But 100%.
We're going to be able to step right? But we're going to be able to step back and go, okay, I need to let God be enough. God loves them even more than I do. God knows their need even more than I do. God knows where they're struggling in places in their lives that, you know, I can't see. I can't understand. I can see in part. God can see the whole. I can see the right now, but God can see the future. I have to trust God. I have to surrender my children over to him and trust that he will be enough as he promised in his word.
You know, I think you hit something really important there, Erica, when you're talking about that feeling of control. And I think control is so big, and it is really an idol to some of us. I know I struggle with control so badly. And when we're trying to control our kids' behavior, we want that immediate gratification to say, we're being a good parent. We're enough. It's going to give you an immediate message back to say, oh, you intervened. It fixed it. Good job. And you're trying to close that feedback loop rather than just being obedient in the moment, responding as God calls you to respond, and trusting him with the outcome. And that is so, so hard to do. So, Erica, I want to know, what are the specific signs that say that you are striving, you're operating from a place of fear, you're not fulfilling the passion in the relationship or the responsibility you hold, you're just operating from fear and control? Because I think it's important for us to step back and look at those, because none of us would say, oh yes, on a daily basis, I am striving and not letting God take control. But we are doing that. So right. What are the things we need to look at in ourselves, honestly?
Yeah. So I think a lot of what we see is emotions, right? So I can remember one time I had my two kids. We were on an airplane flying back home. We lived far from our extended family, and we got on the airplane. We're flying back home, and our daughter was just crying and crying and crying on the airplane, and I couldn't get her to stop crying. And I'm literally... I'm like sweating because I'm just so upset, right, that I can't get my child to stop crying, and I can tell everybody around me is annoyed, and I'm super tense. And it's like, well, of course she's not going to stop crying because I'm a ball of knots, right, and tension. And our kids pick up on those things, right? So I think a lot of it is emotions, right? When we are so consumed with, oh my gosh, what is everybody else going to think of me as a mom because my kid is having a temper tantrum, you know, in the checkout line because I won't let them have the pack of gum, or, you know, fear when we are laying awake at night and we are fretting and we are fearful and our mind is going down the path of all the what ifs, that lets us know. when we're feeling covered in shame, like, oh my gosh, I'm such a bad mom, I messed up again, and we're just berating ourselves as a mom. That's another big sign. And so a lot of the signs are really internal, when it's the thoughts that we're thinking, the emotions that we're feeling, the things that we don't necessarily voice out loud. That lets us know that we have this idol of expecting our children to look and act and be a certain way. And when they're not, we see that as a direct reflection upon us and our own failure. One of the things that I did, I meet so many women, you know, traveling to so many different churches and speaking at different conferences, and women will say to me over and over, you know, they're like, I'm reading all the parenting books, I'm trying to read my Bible, I'm trying to do my prayer journal, or, you know, I go to weekly Bible study, I make sure the kids are in church. I feel like I'm checking all these boxes. You know, we're trying to do devotions at breakfast together. I mean, I'm trying to do all the things, and I just feel like my kids or a kid is out of control, or their heart is hard. I don't know what else. I don't know what to do. And I just feel this dissatisfaction in my own heart, and I don't know what to do with that. And so I think a lot of times we as women, we have our own labels. Like I talked about Moses' labels. We have our own labels that we are wearing from our own childhood. You talked about, you know, with your own mom and mm-hmm. some of the wounding that occurred there, right? No mother is perfect. So we carry some of those wounds with us. And so we have these labels that we wear, and those labels end up driving our thoughts. They drive our emotions, and then that drives our reactions and how we interact with our children and interact with other moms. And so I actually put together a quiz, and I love how you told everybody on here to put their phone away. So maybe take it out tomorrow.
But, oh, no.
I actually have a quiz in my Instagram bio that says, what labels are you wearing? So if you went on Instagram and you just found me, ericawiegenhorn.com, and in my bio, there's a little 2-minute quiz there, what labels are you wearing? And so maybe for the mom out there, she's like, yeah, that is me. And I don't know why. I don't know how to move past it. I don't know what it is that's just holding me back from really surrendering. I would encourage you, just take a couple minutes, take 5 minutes, go take that quiz. See what label you might be wearing, whether it's fear or shame or rejection or insecurity. And I'll send you an email after you take the quiz to give you some real practical next steps to take to learn to really let God be enough.
Well, I am going to tell my listeners, yes, I told you to put your phone away, but you may get them out to take this quiz, because this is something that is a worthwhile use of your time and a worthwhile use of media to really get connected to, you know, what I prayed with Erica, honestly, during the break, was that this would be the day for some of you listening to this message that you say, you know what? Enough is enough. I am going to stop striving today. I'm going to lay down this burden. And Erica, one of the things that you said really resonates with me in thinking about those labels and the way that we talk to ourselves. You said we don't say them out loud. And I think if someone could just listen to the inner monologue that goes on a lot of times in the daily lives of women, our self-talk is so cruel. And it is not consistent with the messages that God gives us. I mean, how many times a day do you think, oh my gosh, I am an idiot? Or you look in the mirror and you think, oh, I look horrible. Oh, look at those wrinkles. Or you think, oh no, they don't, I'm not good enough to go talk to that group of people. I mean, if you think of what we say to ourselves that we would never say to anybody else, you know, on a daily basis,
right?
those messages, God gives us the labels that we are chosen, we are called, we are the apple of God's eye, we are a masterpiece, we are beloved, we're cherished. I mean, all of those things, that's a biblical way, not just saying, hey, you are enough, you are a good person. Like, what? Where is the hope in any of that? But finding the hope in Scripture is just really encouraging. Well, Erica, I want to know,
Yes. We
acknowledge we're all on the same page. This is a terrible problem that most of us have. And those few of us that don't, like, are clearly, you know, I don't know what your secret is, but most of us struggle with this. So what are the practical ways that we can stop responding in fear and surrender in faith, as you say in your book, when God calls us to serve Him? How do we do that?
Yes. Well, one of the things that I noticed that God did in Moses' life, and, you know, I'm a Bible girl. I'm a huge Bible nerd. I tell people all of the time, you know, Jesus saved me from my sins, but His word saves me from myself every day. And so the word of God is powerful. It changes our lives. And we don't have time to get into my whole testimony and why the Bible is so especially meaningful to me, maybe another time, Dr. Jessica. But what I noticed in going through the life of Moses was that as God continued to reveal aspects of Himself to Moses, and Moses grew in intimacy and closeness with God, Moses began to see and understand the lies and the labels that he was believing about himself and how untrue they actually are. And I love it when, you know, the very first thing that God does when He reveals Himself to Moses is He says, I am. I am who I am. And I love that because He's not saying, you know, I am just your provider, or I am just your wisdom, or I am just your strength. I am who I am, meaning, Moses, I am going to be whoever and whatever you need me to be when you need it. And as a wife, as a mom, as, you know, someone who heads up a ministry, there is so much comfort in that. Like, I am who I am. And when I need God to be my wisdom, He will be my wisdom. And when I need God to be my joy because I'm discouraged, He will be my joy. And when I need God to be my strategist and my, you know, discerner of my next steps, God will be that. And so step one, honestly.
Well, hold that thought, Erica. Hold that thought. Step one, we're going to go right back to that after this break. We're talking to Erica Wiggenhorn. Go to her Instagram or her website. Take the quiz on labels. Get her book, Letting God Be Enough, Why Striving Keeps You Stuck, and How Surrender Sets You Free. And we're going to be back right on the other side of this break with step one. You don't want to miss it.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness. And may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Creation.
Welcome back, friends. We are in the middle of a really great conversation with Erica Wiggenhorn, author of Letting God Be Enough, Why Striving Keeps You Stuck, and How Surrender Sets You Free. And during the break, friends, Erica and I were just talking about how the fact that both of our own personal testimonies involved a lot of hard places, and we know that this is not easy, but it is so simple. And I think I can speak on behalf of both of us saying that we have been there. We have been there striving and trying to figure things out and to help ourselves, but it was only through surrender and knowing that God was enough. Erica, I want to share a little short story with you about this, actually, from Compel, which is one of the writers groups that I was in and when I was working on my book, Behind Closed Doors. And Erica, I was about to release my book, and I had a big attack of self-doubt, just thinking, what am I doing? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have, you know, messed up. I have really struggled in this mothering thing. And then I was starting to think, what if I say this is going good? And then now, you know, something's going to happen. It's not going to go good. And I mean, I was just having this doubt, and I was praying at one of the Compel events, actually one of the ones where you were speaking. And I was praying, you know, God, you're going to have to help me because I can't do this. And I heard God clearly say back to me in my spirit. I heard him say, I am. And I was like, I know you're helping me, God, but I mean, you are really going to have to help me because I can't do this on my own. And I just heard the voice of the Lord inside my heart just say, no, Jessica, I am. Not I am helping you, but I am who I am. And that just, and I thought, do I believe that that's enough? Do I believe it? Am I just going to step out in faith? And I did. So right before the break, we were on a cliffhanger, Erica, on step one. I mean, I think people are waiting with their phones. It's okay if you take notes on your phone. I'll give you permission. Or they're waiting with a pad of paper. What is step one?
Yes. So step one is to go through the Bible reading plan in Letting God Be Enough. And I want you to do it in conjunction with Letting God Be Enough, because as you know, Jessica, but the listeners out there might not know, I struggled for many, many years as a Jesus follower to read my Bible. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and reading the Bible was confusing to me and frustrating to me, and I had no idea how to apply it to my life. And so I'm the last person who's going to say to someone, oh, just read your Bible, just spend more time in the Word and everything will be fine, because the Bible is a very confusing book. It was not written for it was not written to a 21st century American mom. It's for us, but it was written to a first century Jewish mom. And so it's very confusing at times. And so, in Letting God Be Enough, I become kind of your fellow sojourner and soldier in battling for your family, and just want to lock arms with you and help you understand what is happening in Scripture, and what does God mean when he says, I am who I am, and what does it mean when he keeps calling himself by all of these different names to Moses, and what does it mean when Moses asks him questions and God doesn't answer the question? What does all of that mean, and why does God do those things in Moses's life? And so rather than just say, go read your Bible, I'd say, get your book, Letting God Be Enough, go through the Bible reading plan and read the chapters in conjunction with it so you can really understand the heart of God and what he's trying to get Moses to understand about who God is and who Moses is, and the lies that Moses is believing.
That is, again, easier said than done, but so, so, so important. And I appreciate you sharing from such a place of authenticity. And so how can we tell when we've surrendered? Erica, why is this God's ultimate plan for his children? And how can we tell, like, we're making progress and we're doing better?
Yeah, great question. I think the biggest thing for me, I am, okay, so one of my spiritual gifts, Dr. Jessica, I'll just be honest with you. One of my spiritual gifts is, if you want to know what the absolute worst case scenario in your situation is, like, you can just begin to tell me a little bit about your situation, and in about 3.2 seconds, I will be able to concoct in my mind the absolute worst case scenario.
No.
So I specialize in worst case scenarios.
Oh no.
So when I notice myself beginning to go down that path, and I will take a pause and I will just start reciting what I know about God. To me, that's huge progress, right? It's mm-hmm. like we talk about in scripture, you know, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When my mind starts traveling down that path of what ifs and worries and anxiousness and, what are other people going to think, and, you know, what is going to happen, and what if this happens? When I stop that and go, whoa, 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 pause. God is ever present. God loves me. God is with me. God is for me. God knows all things. God is powerful. When I can stop the thought processes before I get too far down that road, to me, that's huge progress. When I can look at my children and they're doing something that I would consider maybe embarrassing as a mom, and I can say, well, they are who they are, and God loves them regardless, and I do things that probably embarrass them too, and God loves me regardless. When I can stop worrying about the judgments that other people are going to jump to based on what my kids are wearing or where they're going or what they're doing or saying or how they even how they're sitting in church.
Oh yeah.
When I can begin to let those things go, I know that that's progress. When I can write out a prayer for my kids in my prayer journal and set it on my nightstand and go to sleep in peace, that's progress. And so it's a process of progress, right? I think the big misnomer and idea is that, you know, we throw up a white flag and surrender, and then from then on out, we're not going to continue to battle this. And what we have to realize is it's always going to be a battle. The question is how much are we going to let the lies of the evil one wound us and damage us and incapacitate us? How much is our own negative self-talk going to slash away at our heart before we put our feet down and say, wait, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute. I need to focus on who God is right now. And that's a process. So it's progress, not perfection. It's progress in the form of a process, right? Taking up our cross daily, which means surrendering daily. Okay, I messed this up. I lost my temper here because I felt out of control and I messed it up. I'm going to apologize and I'm going to start over. So it's not perfection. And I don't know on this side of heaven if we ever just get to the point as a mom where we're like, oh, whatever. I don't really care what my kids do. God's got it. I think it's always going to be a battle for us, but how much ground are we going to give the negativity versus taking up the shield of faith and turning our eyes to Jesus and saying, I'm going to let God be enough here because God's got this.
Well, and you've shared pretty openly and pretty authentically that this book is your own personal journey. You have lived this road. You have walked this road. And I know that, you know, going into writing a book, you may have expectations of, okay, it's going to go this way and I'm going to say it. But God always has something there. Tell us about something unexpected or surprising that you learned while you were working on this book. What did God teach you that you didn't see coming?
Ooh, I love this question. So I would say that one of the things that he definitely taught me was I was thinking that as a as a woman, success needed to look a very specific way for God to feel proud of me. And what I realized is that I never needed to seek God's feeling proud of me. Like, that was very misguided. God was already proud of me because he made me, right? And he doesn't, you know, he knit me together. He, you know, it's like your artwork that your three-year-old brings to you, right? And it's, they're so proud of it because they made it. And so in their mind, it's like, I poured myself into this. This reflects me. This is a piece of me, and I'm proud of it. I think that's how God feels about us. He's like, there's my masterpiece. There's my girl. I knit her together. I gave her all her quirks. I put that dimple in her chin. You know, I made her 4'11 on purpose. It wasn't a mistake that she came out that short. But I think what I learned is that it's misguided to try to seek for God to be proud of you. He's already proud of you. What God wants us to do is to seek intimacy with him. He wants us to seek his heart and to understand his heart more deeply, his thoughts towards us, his desires for us, the plans that he has for us, that he's waiting for us to trust him and obey him in these small things that he's given us so that he can open his abundant hand of blessing and give us yet more. And we get that as moms, right? Like, we give our kids some space, right, to kind of make their own decisions and do their own things. And we watch what they do. And when we see the maturity there, we begin to see the depth of wisdom growing. We begin to see a more mature mindset. Then we give them more responsibility and we give them more freedom. And we begin to teach them yet more things as they grow into adulthood. And it's like that with God. And so for me, I realized that I'm chasing after something I already have. And what I really need to be chasing after is God's heart, not his approval.
That is so much easier said than done, but so such good words of advice, because I think back to the lyrics of a song that basically say, you know, would God love you any less if you mess up? And I think everybody easily says, oh no, God won't love you any less. We know that, you know, God, we think can quote John 3:16 and God so loved the world. And we know that God loves us in that. But I think that then the flip side of those lyrics were, well, if you do more, is he going to love you any more? And God doesn't play favorites like that. It's exactly like you said, the reward of seeking God is intimacy with God. It's not his approval. It's walking in fellowship with him. And there is nothing like that with walking beside our shepherd, our good shepherd, who helps us to lay beside quiet waters and leads us and guides us. And that is the reward in all of this. And, you know, that's one thing I've told my kids, Erica, is that as I've known that God is enough, I listen and I know God's voice in my life. And I talked earlier about hearing God speak to me, and I don't hear him audibly, but I know his voice. I can sense his spirit. I know when he is talking to me because of that fellowship. And so knowing, okay, I can do this, God, because you are calling me to do this and you will equip me. And if not, if it doesn't turn out, that's another thing we're running out of time to talk about. But one of the things that you talk about in the book, Erica, that's so true, is just because God calls you to something doesn't mean that he automatically guarantees a predetermined outcome. You know, sometimes it's just about the journey. Sometimes it's just about stepping out in obedience, about changing your path, about learning a new life lesson or a skill that you will know later on. And that is really, really hard, because we can think, oh no, like, God set this up, it should be end up like this. But again, God. Well, the book is called Letting God Be Enough, Why Striving Keeps You Stuck and How Surrender Sets You Free. We've been talking to Erica Wiggenhorn today. I hope you will go online and find her at ericawiggenhorn.com or find her on Instagram. Do that free quiz that she has for you. And in the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And we will see you right here next time where we're prescribing more hope for healthy families. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.